with KK4JBQ, and again, I think, Ed, you may still be around. I'm not sure if you were still part of our conversation in for EDW. Was, I think you turned it back over, but I think you might still be out there anyway. But, Larry, you know, I don't really have, I mean, again, I most of the audio equipment I have is, well, sitting on a shelf in a box, too, but probably nothing near the quality of equipment you have. And I mean, the only thing that I would even think might be something that could possibly work would be like a server rack, like for, you know, like they use in a data center, but that may not even be a possibility because it has the fans and air circulation and stuff, but the problem is it ends up being closed, depending on what kind of server rack you would have. But, I mean, again, the obvious thing would, you know, a longer shelf, that one beside the other. But, again, I'm not really sure of the space constraints. But I know we all seem to have that. I think I've told you my ham shack consists of a couple mobile rigs that are kind of shoved over here in the corner of my office and try and make maximum use of minimum space most of the time. But, and I've even considered getting, you know, a lot of my equipment is little Yaesu rigs, and they make a little fan that you can mount on the bottom. I think it's like $60, $70 that, you know, like you said, it's just using small computer fans to blow air constantly on the bottom of the cooling fins of these mobile rigs. But space is definitely at a premium. And I don't think there's any easy way to dissipate heat other than to, you know, move air around it.
That helps. It helps because I hadn't been thinking in that direction. And it is a matter of just moving the warm air away and spacing the turntable. The shelf is already, I would say, 5 feet and something tall. And then you got the equipment on top of that. That is to say, the amplifier, and then a spacer of some sort with forced air movement. Yeah, I don't want to get the turntable up so high that I can't see how to place the needle. You know, I'm shrinking over time. I mean, it's something that happens to people, I suppose. Maybe people say it's gravity. I believe that. My driver's license says 5'10", but and I know I was measured at 5'10", but gravity will pull you toward the center of the earth, you know? And so it's probably a little less than that now. So even at my full height, I would have about a 10-inch space there, and I want to be able to drop the needle where I should. Now, I'm sure that there are people listening, and I know you're out there, who don't fool with such things as that. You know, you've never had a long-playing record album, and that's okay. That's fine. But for those of us who lived through the wars, you might say, we still have memories, and we still like to massage our memories once in a while. And there are some things, honestly, that I've not been able to find on the worldwide internet. No. I recorded back in the 80s a radio program that came on my PBS station. I think it was in, maybe it was in New Orleans. Beautiful music. Some Cajun, which is a little raucous for me, but great music anyway, and it has a flavor of New Orleans. I'll never be able to get that any other way, you know. It's something that I recorded on cassette tapes, and I will try to digitize that. My way of preserving it for me. You have to decide that it's worth the effort for you, and that goes with anything that you put your mind to. Is it worth your effort? Take 1 minute and decide whether you hours and hours and hours. KK4JBQ.
KI4LCI.
KK4HR with KK4JBQ in the rag chute portion. And Andy, I acknowledge you coming in there. So, Andy, go
ahead. Glad, yes. I think I know the answer, but I'd like to hear from some of the rest of them talking about recordings and all. When was the 16-speed records in play? It's my thinking it was sometime in the 20s back to the spindle time. You have any idea?
I don't. I'd have to do the old Google search. I know, again, for me, I remember 33 and a third RPM and then 45s, you know, for the small ones, which probably dates me a little bit. But again, I wasn't, my birthday's in 69, so I think that might predate me.
Over to archive.org, old radio program. And Larry, I may have done mention that, Larry, he might find that on the archive, but you go over there and you see some of the old, old records, mostly from the 20s up to, I'm guessing, about the 60s was 78s. Then in the 60s, the 45s and the 33 and the 3rd come out. Well, this old record player I got up here that I've had for ever and a day, if it still works, had a 16-speed mentioned on, we're running on 16 speeds. It's my thinking that it predates, because I've traced, as I told Larry before, the Carter family always using 78s all the way back to the late 20s. So it's my thinking that the 16 speeds was between the days of the, the spindle, up to the time of the 78s. And I just wish somebody could confirm that for me. I think that's what it is, though.
And I just did a real quick internet search, and there was a 16 RPM that doesn't have a date. The link sends me somewhere that doesn't actually go anywhere. But this gentleman had talked, trying to find out if there was any current equipment that did 16 RPM. Everything is, you know, 33 and a third, 45, 78, that kind of stuff. But he remembers having 16 RPM vinyl at some point. Of course, now I can't get back to the link, but it sent me off into a place that doesn't exist anymore. But there definitely was one. It just didn't have a date that I can find.
A lot of the old radios, as well as the phonographs, a lot of them were in combination. You go to that RadioBoulevard.com website, or I got a book here of Sears equipment that sold from 1930 to 42. Some of them were just radio, some of them were combination radio phonographs. But there's one on that archive website, I can't remember, M-U-R-A-D-O or something like that. I can't remember now. I'm not where I can look at the website now to see, but there was some kind of, and what Larry told me the other day reminded me of this. They mentioned on it, and it seems like it was about 30, back in the 20s, one where they had records there, but it mentioned on that particular radio phonograph combination that those records were bad about messing up somehow or another, and they done it just for a short time, and that was all. And I'm glad to hear someone confirm that, because I know this old record player has it, but I've never seen one in person, a 16-speed.
HR with KK4JBQ and KI4LZI and the rag chute portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight. And, you know, Andy, I was just browsing through here, and again, the gentleman was actually asking if he knew of anybody that had any equipment that could play a 16 RPM. And, of course, everybody has their own opinion. The Fred kind of giggled at. The problem with 16 RPM is the sound quality was terrible. And it was only suitable for spoken words, speeches, or like audiobook recording. So definitely not a music thing, I guess. Maybe the fidelity wasn't there. I'm not sure. But I was just kind of laughing at that comment. Over.
That archive.org website, and you look up under the old radio column, some of the old records, some of the people who recorded music, say like the Grand Ole Opry, and look through some of that, whether it's the Carter family, Bill Monroe, Grandpa Jones, Roy Acuff, Little Jimmy Dickens. Just about everything from the late 20s up to the 60s that they showed that they used was 78s. And the 16 speeds hadn't been prior to that, in my opinion. I know I was trying to find out some way to get a hold of some of Acuff's train songs, but I read on that same site, he did do a 33 and a third with him sometime about 65 or 66. It's just that I've got to locate it. And like me and Larry was discussing before, there ain't that many record stores still remaining. That's not 200 miles away anymore. They're just about gone.
HR with KK4JBQ and KF4LZI and the Ragchew portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Andy, I know a lot of the records had almost kind of, I guess, disappeared. I don't even know. I mean, I know they still make them, and I think they had tried to make, like, a resurgence here lately because, again, you know, the people that really like to listen say the audio is better than the CDs or the digital, and, you know, and again, I think some of that gets lost, some of that fidelity gets lost in the digital realm, I guess, so to speak. It just sounds different. And, you know, sometimes there should be a little bit of noise. Everything doesn't have to be crystal clear and clean. You know, sometimes that noise in the background adds to the listening experience, so to speak. But, I was just on that archive.org, just kind of looking through there. I'll have to check that out a little bit more, but that looks like a pretty good resource as well. But, Larry, did you have any comments, sir?
Well, wait, this is KK4JBQ. Thinking of the conversation, and it caused me to remember, and this is something to carry away. Whoever is still out there listening, this is something to carry away. There used to be a television program. It still airs from time to time, called History Detectives. And they'll have someone who has, a piece of an aeroplane. And they want to know what aeroplane that piece is from. Well, detectives use all kinds of detective work in order to find out and then report back to the individual who has something that they'd like these history detectives work on. It's very entertaining, very entertaining. There was one piece of fabric that was actually traced back to the Hindenburg. That was the dirigible that that caught fire and killed a lot of folks. It was filled with hydrogen. Not helium, hydrogen. And it practically exploded. I think it didn't take a full minute to be completely in flames. So there were pieces left, and somebody picked a piece of that up off the ground and kept it, and a member of their family, like three generations later, wanted the history detectives to verify that came from the Hindenburg. So the extent to which they examined the fabric and put it in that place. There were some markings on it. And they verified that you really do have a piece of the Hindenburg. Same thing with other things coming down through history. So that got me to thinking, what was the first phonograph recording made? And of course, that was Thomas Edison's phonograph. Didn't use discs, record discs, used wax cylinders. Sort of like a, you know, oh goodness, you know, the tube that's in a roll of toilet tissue, about that size, you know, and it's wax, and it cut the grooves. The thing that made the recording cut the grooves, and you put this a similar needle in it to play it back. It really caught on and changed over time. The what do you call it? The generations of things that came along for recording on a physical thing like a cylinder or a disc gave way to magnetic recordings on tape. And then that gave way to other things. And then finally, we all have digits. So I'm glad Andy ran this down far enough to realize that probably the thing that killed the 16 RPM record was fidelity. Turning that slow, you could not have good fidelity. Now, a 78 RPM, those things, I mean, they really spun on the platter. And you think, oh, we can get a lot more songs on this. No, that's not what the purpose of that speed was. The records were large-ish, but they ran real fast. And the reason is that you could get more of the waveform, if talking in digital terms, you could get more of the waveform on as it ran at a faster rate. And so fidelity was greatly increased. Well, so there we are. I've had lots of fun with this, and I hope anyone that's still listening has enjoyed the time that this took you to listen to. But I'll give you a reasonable place to jump off there. Michael, you were good enough to call the net tonight. And we just happened to get on a topic that has stretched it out. Look, almost 10:30. But I'm here, and I was looking for some help, and you gave that to me. You and others have given that to me. I appreciate that a lot. KK4JBQ.
HR with KK4JBQ and KI4LZI and the RAGCHU portion of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. And we'll go ahead and pause here. I don't think we paused recently for additional check-ins before we continue on with the RAGCHU. Additional check-ins for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, Alpha through Zulu, beginning the suffix of your call. If you wish to check in to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call AK4HR, net control. I don't have anybody. And honestly, Larry, I hate to actually end the net on a rather, well, sad. Did you hear about Bob Heil this week, over?
I'm sorry, no, I had not heard any news about Bob.
Well, 28th, he became a silent key. I didn't realize that he had had a year or so, a little longer, maybe battle with cancer. But I was actually bringing up QRZ earlier this morning to do some prep work for the net. And there was an article on there where he became a silent key on the 28th, and I was kind of shocked. I hadn't heard that from anywhere else before, and I meant to bring that up. And I, you know, we'll have to change the subject, obviously, before we continue on. I don't want to end on a sad note, but again, I hadn't heard that from a lot of people, but I know he'll be missed definitely in the ham and the audio community for sure.
Michael, that's a sad note. Heil Sound was Bob's company that he developed. His wife actually ran the company. he just invented things and had lots of fun doing that. Bob Heil is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the contributions that he made to music recording, both live recording and live presentation as well. I think he was responsible for the wah-wah. that's a foot pedal that changes and bends notes rather than having to physically bend a string. You could do it faster and have greater control. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He gave up the company something over a year ago, I guess it was. I think his wife was still running the business end of it, but he pulled back from actively developing new products and whatnot. And he sold it to employees, which I thought was a fine thing to do. Employees who had been working with him for years bought the company. Anyhow, that's sad news. He and others had an internet podcast, I suppose, and I watched practically every episode of that. He was the anchor, you might say, for that podcast. And he left some time ago. I think it's still, it might be defunct by this time. But other people have splintered off and that were there with him have splintered off and done their own product. Spent a lot of hours watching Bob. Well, thank you for that news. 28th, not that long ago. KK4 JBQ.
I just hadn't heard and wanted to share and kind of spread a little bit of the news. I was reading some of the stuff that he had done, and you know, like you said, for the recording industry, for you know, the music industry, that kind of stuff. He had done a lot of stuff and had you know, been inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I know he did a lot of microphone work for the music industry as well as the stuff for the ham radio community. And I mean, I have a couple of his pieces of equipment here, or at least company pieces of equipment from his company. So again, I just like I say, I hadn't heard either, and was just spreading some news. But you know, I think I had seen him a couple of times, and I think he was one of those larger than life kind of personalities, and was always, you know, seemed like he was always jovial, and everybody who I think talked to him or had the chance to talk to him really enjoyed it. So, again, he'll definitely be missed, but be missed fondly, I think, is the way I understand it.
Trivia concerning Bob. He got Joe Walsh, lead guitar for Eagles, into ham radio. And every once in a while, Joe Walsh would be featured on their podcast. And Bob was, in his early years, he was a theater organist. So I don't know Bob's age when he passed, but he's been around here a while. And played in theaters where they played, I suppose, silent films. And in order to get from one scene to the next, a piano will not do in this instance, but an organ will. So Bob was very accomplished on the organ. KK4JBQ.
In the article on the ARRO website, he was 83 when he passed away. But, you know, I did not actually get the privilege, I guess, of actually going to a movie theater while there was, like, a live orchestra or band or whatever during the movies, you know, when the soundtracks have always been on the movies. But a couple of years ago, I was visiting a friend of mine in Richmond, and their historical area and gosh, I can't even remember the name of the place, but there is an old movie theater. You know, it's single movie theater. They have one screen, and of course they show classic movies there, but they still have like the orchestra pit, and where they would play the actual music or soundtrack for the movie at the time the movie was playing. But now I'm going to have to go and try and research if I can find the name of it. But it was a big thing when they redid the movie. Of course, they don't still do the orchestra or anything. It's just that, you know, the history of the theater is still there. But I just think it was probably a different time and a different experience completely than it is now. You know, now we turn on the TV and hit Netflix or whatever to watch a movie. Whereas, you know, back in the earlier days, it was an event you prepared for, or, you know, just so much more enjoyment and a better experience. You know, now everybody wants a big TV and this theater sound, and, you know, to look back at the way things used to be or were done differently, I think it was just, I don't want to say better, but better.
Different for sure. KK4JBQ. I think if you live long enough, and some of us have, and some of us have not yet lived long enough, for some part of your life, something that you did, to become nostalgic. Nostalgia. I like that word. I like what it is in life that are nostalgic. Being a watchmaker is one of them. People don't, I mean, I suppose there are folks who are insistent on wearing a wind-up watch or even an automatic watch. They, when they first came out, they called them kinetic watches. They were dependent on your wrist movement. If you move, if you were a sedentary person, this watch would not wind for you. The self-winding watches. But I've done things that are in the history of mankind, they are currently nostalgic. Think about it. KK4JBQ.
HR with KK4JBQ in the Rag Chew portion of the Blue Ridge Steam Internet. And we'll take a pause here before we continue on. And Larry, I'll let you go here in just a minute. But looking for additional check-ins to the Blue Ridge Steam Internet tonight, Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. And you wish to check in to the Blue Ridge Steam Internet tonight, please call AK4HR, Net Control. Anybody, but again, Larry, I don't know if nostalgic actually qualifies, but, you know, even in my lifetime, you know, I think back to, you know, it's hard to imagine, well, I shouldn't say hard to imagine because I know people do, but, you know, it wasn't that long ago where cell phones weren't that prevalent, and, you know, I can't remember, my wife and I have been watching some quote-unquote older movies, but, you know, stuff from the 70s, 80s that was kind of when we were growing up. And, you know, there were no cell phones, and people had to play outside, and they had the telephone on the wall, and that would ring, and you would have to answer that. And just little things that my kids look at, you know, they kind of came at the very tail end of having a home phone. You know, they've pretty much had cell phones as long as they can remember. But just little things like that. And in computers, and even the iPhone, you know, computers weren't that prevalent even when they were born in the mid to late 90s. You know, computers were just starting to take off as far as the internet and that kind of thing. And, you know, now it seems like many people can't live without that stuff. And, yeah, they are convenient, but it's just a different set of issues that come along with everything. So different, not necessarily better, but different. We'll go with that.
Fairly better, but different. I'll remember that phrase. Thank you for that. Yeah. Just the other day, I was looking around for something I had lost. I know things are here, but I just don't know where a lot of it is. You know, so it takes rifling through. Yeah, storage boxes even. There are boxes. We moved here 24 years ago. In 1999, and there are boxes we haven't opened yet, believe it. So I know that And I have a what is it? J38 key from World War II. A CW key. I know I've got it. I just haven't opened that box yet. So anyway, the things that we appreciate are things in our, you know, in our, within our lifetimes. The, you know, and there's a boundary there. I was born in 51, and things that happened before that, that's real history. You know, I wasn't around to see any of that. Even as I grew into a, you know, an adult, there were things from 51 to probably, well, anyway, the rest of the 50s. I didn't see the beginning of Elvis Presley, and you know, I came in when he became popular. He was already kind of popular, but I wasn't around for, and maybe I was. That was 58, I think, when he burst onto the scene and started recording things and making movies and all that kind of stuff. But we are nostalgic, going back to that word, about things that we experienced and now have long passed. So I was in a drawer the other day and I found a telephone. A telephone with a wire sticking out of it. And I says, oh my goodness, why is this here? And then it struck me, I recalled, that Donna and I figured when we first got cell phones, if this thing proves to be unreliable, we kept, you know, the wires in the home. The home was built in 99, of course, and they still wired homes. I bet you they don't do that anymore. But they wired the house for phones. And so we kept that just in case. We had neglected to charge the phone or something like that, and we could just take it out of the drawer and plug it into the wall, right? And we would have a phone in an emergency. That was a good thing to do. But I picked it up the other day, and I thought, I don't really need to keep this around. You know, I don't really need this. Maybe some museum would like to have it. Ha ha. KK4JBQ.
Similar situation. We still have the jack on the wall in our kitchen. And again, our house was built, I think, in 92, maybe. And, you know, again, like you said, I don't know. I think now houses are probably wired with Cat 5 or Cat 6E for internet and, you know, TV and that kind of thing. But I don't think they run anything for, you know, as far as they may, but again, I haven't really looked. But you know, now everything comes across your internet cable, you know, either it be like 5G, like some of the carriers are offering now, or the high speed internet into a box, and then that box runs the, you know, twisted pair out of there, how I think it goes. But we don't actually have a landline anymore either. We had kept one probably longer than we probably should have. Same thing, thinking that we would at some point need it again. But we were doing some remodeling, or talking about doing some remodeling in the kitchen, and that box came up, the jack on the wall. It's like, do we need to keep that? I'm like, there's no reason to. But so we're going to drywall over, you know, take that out, drywall over it, and then that piece of history will be gone.
Okay, for LCI. Here with this house, then, we still don't have cell service here because we're in a bad spot. But I can go half a mile up or down the road and get good cell service. But when it comes to anything involved with old landlines, take it from what my family here experienced with old landlines. It's hard to get anything done with them anymore. They don't want to come out here and really fix the infrastructure anymore. Even though we're in a bad spot when it comes to getting cell service, they're very close to forcing us here to not have any kind of phone here. Because mine cell phone don't work here. My mother's does. And the landline's the only thing that we got here that will something, but the infrastructure around here, they're getting so many more, they don't want to keep it up. And it's just a matter of time before that ain't going to be any good to us up here. We're still in that situation. Part of why I got my license, too. This ain't a good spot for cell service. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LCI.
I'm going to hand it over to Michael at control.
Well, Andy, I again, have run into the same thing up there. I think y'all probably heard me talk about, you know, like if I go up towards Jones Gap State Park, you know, if you get off Highway 11 or you get up Highway 11 a little bit, you know, cell coverage is kind of spotty. You know, once I turn off of Highway 25, usually I'll end up being spotty until I, say, get up, say, towards Caesar's Head or someplace up there. But Jones Gap, you know, there's a couple cabins and, you know, farms and stuff out there that, you know, cell phone does not work out there or expect their cell phones to work. And I know they keep putting new towers up and trying to do coverage and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't work as well as it's supposed to, especially in some of those rural areas, and people tend to forget about that.
That's on that, but y'all got talking about that, and I've got interest in that, too. But I'm just telling you from experience, they put a new cell tower up. There was one down at Punkindale, and they put another one back up toward the west Gated Park. But here in this hole that I'm, where I live at, and especially in the summer when the leaves on the trees, it ain't going to happen. But I can just go up the road a ways or down the road a ways. Then I'll pick up cell service, but it's very unreliable. And there's lots of places up in here, back off up in these parts up here, just like this. Just like that. You go up toward Rocky Bottom, back off up through there. If you get any cell service up there at all, I'm shocked about it. It really, there's plenty of holes up back off up in here where cell service ain't reliable in. When it comes to the archive, you go to archive.org, then go down there where it says radio programs. Where it says radio programs, you punch that in. Then when you come up to that about the various radio programs up at the right-hand top part there, punch up any of them from back, it was on the Opry from back in the day. That's how a lot of times they've done. I'll take and do that, put their names in, and from, like I said earlier, from late 28 to probably 60, 78 was the thing. Now, though, to find something like that, once again, we're talking obsolescence again, but go ahead and take care of the net there. KI4LCI. But up here, it cell service ain't reliable at all.
Well, it's AK4HR with KK4JBQ and KI4LZI, and we'll go ahead and wrap up the net here. But I appreciate you folks staying around and making some comments. Larry, Andy, always good to hear you. And definitely feel free to hang around after the net if you want to, or if some other folks do. But we'll give one final call here before we secure out the net. Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, beginning the suffix of your call. If you wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, please call AK4HR Net Control.
AK4HR, please check in WA4HNT, Whiskey Alpha 4, Hotel November Tango. The name is Alton, Alpha Lima Tango Oscar November. I'm in Pendleton, and I've been enjoying listening, so you guys have a good evening. Thanks for calling the net.
Once as I keyed up this repeater, good evening, everyone. It's W4GOG, Whiskey Ford, Golf Oscar Golf. Josh, currently in downtown Pickens, listening to y'all talking about old ancient technology. We'll be negative and negative on the mobile.
Group of check-ins here as we burn the midnight oil. Well, almost. But up first, that's Alton. That's Whiskey Alpha 4, Hotel November Tango, WA4HNT. And Alton, good to hear you. Appreciate you coming by. We were keeping the net open just for you guys to check in. But, Alden, good to hear you, my friend. Appreciate you coming by. And, Josh, I'd like to welcome you. Whiskey 4 Golf Oscar Golf, W4GOG. Be careful using that word, ancient technology. Some of it's not quite as old as we are. And, yeah, anyway, Josh, good to hear you, my friend. And I appreciate you coming by. Yeah, I got to come by the repeater every so often. Make sure your radio still works. But it's doing good into the repeater tonight. I think you said you were on the HT, but doing a good jump up to the repeater tonight. Appreciate that you spending a few minutes with us, Josh. Good to hear you. Josh, call sign Whiskey 4 Golf, Oscar Golf. All right, let's give one more call here, Alpha through Zulu, A through Z, before we secure the net. If you have a letter in the suffix of your call at all and you wish to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, please call AK4HR, net control. Long pause means we have everybody, so one final call. If I missed anyone for comments or check-ins, please call AK4HR, net control. I have everybody for the moment, so stand by. I'll pass my net report, and I'll be back to close out the net. 4HR, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Just a reminder, Patrick, KO4HKX, is scheduled to be calling the net tomorrow night. I know he'd appreciate everybody coming back and checking in with him again as well, filling up his log, spending a little time chatting with him. So this is AK4HR, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, with our thanks for everybody taking the time to check in, especially Andy and Larry and those folks that stuck around and made some comments for us, kept the finals warm up there on the repeater. So again, great to talk with you fellas tonight. Remember to do your best and try and keep that magic RF smoke inside the components where it belongs, and come back and check in again tomorrow night. We'll now return the repeater back to its normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless.